Hello and welcome to this special Q&A session on student well-being and mental health. My name is Raoul Mulder and I have with me today a panel of experts in higher education policy and practice who will be helping us to shed light on this topic. In the last few years, a number of studies have emerged which suggest that alarming numbers of students enrolled at university are experiencing mental health difficulties. Today our panel will be addressing the question of why this might be the case and what, if anything, universities can do about it. So let me start by introducing the panel. First is Dr. Helen Stallman, a clinical psychologist and program director of mediation in the School of Psychology, Social Work and Social Policy at the University of South Australia. Next we have Professor Glenn Bates, who's also a clinical psychologist by training as well as Pro Vice Chancellor for Student Advancement at Swinburne University of Technology. Michelle Walter is a PhD candidate in education and has written on the topic of student mental health and well-being for the online forum The Conversation. Matthew Brett is Senior Manager, Higher Education Policy at La Trobe University, who's received national recognition for his services to teaching and learning in higher education. And Associate Professor Rachel Field teaches and researches in the Law School at Queensland University of Technology. She's also an Australian Learning and Teaching Fellow who's been working on strategic change in legal education to address high levels of psychological distress in law students. Welcome everyone, and thank you for making time to come along to the panel today. Helen, if I could direct the first question to you. You have authored a number of studies looking at levels of psychological distress in university students. One of those studies, which was published in 2010, and involved a large sample of students, over 6,000 students at two large universities, reported that around one in five students reported very high scores on the Kessler 10, which is a widely used screening measure of anxiety and mood disorders. And my question to you essentially is, can these numbers be right?
With those scales, what we're measuring is a broad screening of psychological distress rather than mental health problems per se. Those measures have also been validated against diagnostic criteria, which suggests that maybe one in five students does suffer from a mental health problem. But they're just one measure that we're using. There are also reports from other sectors of the university, such as counselling services and health services, both here and internationally, that the severity of the problems that students are having is increasing.
Glenn, can I turn to you as Pro Vice Chancellor? Is that your experience? Do you think that the estimate of one in four, one in five is about right in terms of the number of students at university that are experiencing psychological distress?
Yes, I would, quite definitely. The reports we get back from our student support services is that their need of dealing with stressed students and students with mental health concerns has increased quite dramatically in recent times. But we're also getting it from academics dealing with students in their day-to-day work, and also from our student groups. So the student voice has been along lines of that there's more distress in what's there.
Michelle, as a current student and one who's taking an active interest in this topic, is that your experience, that students at university are experiencing high levels of distress? What's your understanding of what's going on?
Yeah, it's actually completely my experience, both going through my own undergraduate and master's and also teaching students. So what I found with students is there's the added stress of trying to cope with difficult academics. They're at a university environment that often is very unfamiliar. They're not given a lot of skills when it comes to negotiating the university system. It's very opaque. They don't know where to go for help. And also they have so many added pressures. A lot of them are working 20, 30 hours a week. They have to deal with relationships at home, romantic relationships, and often they don't feel any kind of attachment to university and they're quite isolated. So yeah, that's absolutely been my experience.
Matt, can I bring you in on this? If it is indeed the case that significant numbers of students enrolled at university are experiencing psychological distress, is it the university's role to try and address that problem? Could you argue that, in fact, it's a health problem? We're in the business of education. We should leave it to the health professionals.
I think it is absolutely a health problem, but it's also a social problem and an educational problem as well. If we consider the group of students that have mental health conditions, There are legal protections through the Disability Discrimination Act and Disability Standards for Education, which means that universities have got responsibilities to provide support to enable the participation of that group of students. In broad terms, the statistics around that group of students are there's a lot of room for improvement, and I think universities have got a big role to play in being able to provide the education that can unlock those opportunities for that group in future.
Rachel, can I now turn to you? You've argued that unis can do a lot more than provide information services for mental health. In fact, you argued that academic teachers have a really major role to play in supporting student mental well-being through curriculum design, teaching practice, etc.
That's right. I think that students at university these days, you know, thinking about what Glenn has said about the diversity of students and their where they're coming from, we really need to respond to them in a number of ways. So it's a university community issue. It's not just for academics to respond to this issue, it's for the university community as a whole to respond. But I think academics definitely have a role to play. And particularly because students are so stretched in terms of, you know, managing all the different aspects of their lives, we need to connect with them where they are. And they are in our classrooms. Hopefully, they're coming to university. So that's where we need to connect with them. And that means that if we're going to do that, that we need to intentionally design our curriculum so that we are ensuring that we are not exacerbating issues of psychological distress for the student. And in fact, we potentially can also promote their well-being.
Michelle, would you agree with Rachel that academics have a really key role to play through curriculum design in helping students with their mental well-being?
Absolutely, I 100% agree. One thing that research has repeatedly shown when you're looking at secondary school, primary school, is that attachment to school is a protective factor. If you feel attached to school, engaged, part of a learning community, important, like you matter, then you are less likely to develop mental health distress. Whereas university is huge, large class sizes, often you don't connect with your tutor, you see them for 12 weeks, you don't connect with other people in your class, and that can be incredibly alienating.
I think perhaps for me, what I would be wanting us to change is to be, we've been so passive, we just come back and we teach as we've always taught. We need to be more proactive, engaging with students, and that can be just inquiring about how students are going. So interacting with students and giving them, a bit more autonomy in the way in which we teach. I think we've got to be, mature enough to allow people to engage. That way you get motivation, and if we're getting motivated students, that's where we're going to get the mental health sorts of problems. If people are sitting there, why am I at university? I'm just a number. Then they get into self-doubt, then they're going to be more vulnerable to being anxious, depressed, and so on.
Okay, but let me throw a challenge to all of you. Aren't we at risk of coddling students when they're here at university? I mean, they are adults, not children. The world is a stressful place. Are we doing them a favour by trying to remove the stressful elements of their experience at university?
I think we can really support mental health and wellbeing without undermining the academic rigour or, you know, student excellence. There are really simple things we can do, and I think one of those is stop assuming that students know how to do things like use feedback and think it's about themselves. So when we give them feedback, especially in that first year, help them unpack that, help them work out what does it mean, how can they use that to improve their performance on their next assignment, rather than just give them the mark and let them go away and feel bad about themselves.
I think we should also acknowledge that this is an issue that's being faced in countries across the world where there are changing patterns of resilience in university age populations. In the United States, for example, there's quite a robust debate at the moment around trigger warnings around curriculum, where academics would provide students with some notice around content in the classroom that may be unsettling for some students. Now this sort of trigger warning sort of discourse opens up some quite difficult questions around the intersection between an individual's right to be in a safe sort of environment and also the very essence of higher education and the place that higher education serves as a as a forum for free exchange of ideas and debate. There are no easy answers to these kind of questions, but I think if we as a sector don't deliberately engage with this kind of conversation, we may find that the sector will evolve in ways that we may not be entirely comfortable with from this vantage point in time.
But I would also like to add that suggesting we're coddling students is quite reductive, because what we're trying to do is support students, is to give them the optimum environment in which they can learn. And if these students couldn't cope with academic stress, they wouldn't be at university. They want challenge, but they also need to be supported within what they're doing. I think that's incredibly important to note as well.
I think that we really need to think about what we do as academics and who we are as academics, what our role is, and how we fulfil that role. Students come to our classes trusting us to do them no harm. And if we know that there is something that we can do with the curriculum that's positive, that could be reducing harm that may be occurring to students, then we have an ethical duty. A duty of care, even. We could even go to the law to sort of say that we actually should be doing something positive in this area to promote student wellbeing. And I think the important aspect of when a student is in our classroom is not just about the doctrinal knowledge that we have in our discipline areas. And universities have for so long been focused on the content of knowledge in subject areas. In fact, it's the skills that students need to come away from university with. We're not trying to de-stress university or de-stress a discipline. We're trying to skill students up, I think, and build their competence so that they have capacity to deal with the stresses that they're facing.
In part, I think what it possibly leads us to think is for academics to realise just how powerful the messages they give to students in their lectures are. And we've found in several things, if it's endorsed by an academic, something to do with mental health concerns or whatever we're doing in their lecture, the students really respond strongly to that. And in terms of satisfaction with university over time, most students will say there was one person who really inspired me, and it can be the academic. So I think they've got a very powerful role by their actions. And if we look at developing them, and we talking before about how the academics aren't probably prepared for what they do in their teaching and learning space, I think we need more in terms of social development understanding of academics, so they feel more confident to take that role.
But coming back to you, there would seem to be implications here for higher education policy, and it seems to me that higher education policy has a really significant role to play in terms of creating an environment for students that either supports or potentially undermines student well-being.
Yeah, the mainstream policy debates in higher education over the last couple of years have really been fixated on who pays for higher education and how much. There's been insufficient attention, in my view, given to what it is that we want our higher education system to be and the role that it plays in terms of teaching and research. Along those lines, I think there's significant scope to really increase the emphasis within higher education policy on learning outcomes. And if we're to take that seriously, we really need to give full attention to the students that we are teaching. And as we've heard today, this is increasingly a cohort where levels of mental distress and mental illness are quite strongly evident in higher education. And that really places emphasis on institutions to find ways of equipping academics to teach the students that are here today in Australian higher education.
So now can I ask each of you, what do you think is the single most important thing that universities could be doing, that they're not currently doing, to support and improve student mental well-being at university?
I think a very important thing that the sector could be doing is to find better ways of being able to integrate sort of measures of mental health within mainstream performance measures for higher education. What is measured really matters and can really drive behaviour in the system. And whilst we have some great evidence that's been developed by fine researchers like Ellen Storman and Wendy Larkham around the way in which mental health issues are sort of manifesting in university populations, until such time that we really integrate those kinds of methodological approaches into our data collection and performance monitoring, our progress in this space is going to be really impeded.
I agree with Matt. I think what employers need and what they want is graduates who have a sense of well-being and resilience to be able to cope in the workforce. And I think the thing that universities can do and need to do in this space is really to provide a structure around for students and ensure that students receive a clear message in everything they do. So, you know, around sleep, around nutrition, around relationships, around connectedness, so that the message they get in all their interactions with the university is around mental health and wellbeing.
I think that academics have to not be afraid of this issue. We can still be experts in our areas and designing the curriculum to support student wellbeing. We don't have to be an expert in psychology or a clinical psychologist to be able to do good work in this area. We just have to engage with the issue, and we have to acknowledge that there is a problem and that we can be part of the solution.
So I think there needs to be a lot more around destigmatisation, accessibility. I've had students say, I don't know where to go. I don't know who to go to for an extension, who to go to for psychological services. And I think looking at help seeking itself and the barriers and how within the university we can break them down is a critical, critical part of how to help solve this problem.
I would say the one biggest, it's a big change, but it's one change, is to refocus our thinking of how we make these interventions to be university-wide strategies. Because we have professional services, which students often don't know about, or academics don't know about. We have academics who are teaching their particular programs who can incorporate material. But we actually need to link those two up. And start a dialogue between those two areas, because often we get silos between them. So it's something about an ongoing connection and taking advantage of a large number of resources across the university. Everyone has got scarce resources, but actually if we start talking to each other and work as a unified team, the notion of the multidisciplinary team, which is prevalent in, you know, clinical work, we haven't really done that in the university. And then you get up to the idea of putting it into workload models and I like Matt's idea of learning outcomes and actually the way in which the university is assessed in terms of its outcomes. So that way you get the Vice-Chancellor down to the academic.
Can I finish off by thanking all of the panel members today for their contributions to this discussion? I think it has been a really interesting discussion and we've seen a lot of really rich and varied perspectives on the problem. So thank you all very much.